It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is indeed the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And I feel like I'm in a state of shock, guys. I don't know how the Bears went from up 9 to down 5 and as quickly as they did. I mean, I had a whole – it's like you wrote your lead on deadline and you had everything going right, and now it's get me rewrite. Holy mother of God, that was a shocking way to lose a game that they had all but put away. Wow, that was awful.
Guys, I'm with you, Mully. I'm kind of depressed. I think the Bears just Detroited themselves. I think it's going to be calling now we Bears'd ourselves. I mean, that's 17 points in the fourth quarter you gave up. But, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the stat sheet, and you look at it, you know, the Bears doubled them up in time, 4 takeaways to 1 takeaway. You just think that's a win, right? But then, to me, what happened was the better team won. They found a way to beat a bad team, and, you know, the Bears played better than – maybe what we thought, but I'm just in shock. I just can't believe what I saw. I was excited to come on the postgame show and talk about how the great Justin Fields played and Luke Getsy calling all these quarterback runs and getting them moving out of the pocket. And then all of a sudden the fourth quarter happens and they can't hold on to a lead.
Yeah, well, it was 26-14, right? Mm-hmm. 26-14 with 4 minutes and 15 seconds left after a 14-play, 70-yard drive and everything – that had to happen for the Lions to win happened. It's an absolute meltdown, right? It's a meltdown by a bunch of people whose jobs are on the line to not melt down at that moment. And all the questions we asked in the pregame show, what could they do? Could Coach Eberflus outcoach the other sideline, Dan Campbell and his staff? Could Justin Fields make the plays at the end of the game? If they had all the takeaways, if they're right there to win the game, could they seal the deal? Were they good enough? But all the questions hang over their heads again. Right, not only hang over their heads, now we all got answers. Now we got answers to all the questions that we were asking leading into this game, right? There's a blown coverage down there, and you give up a touchdown, you know, on a first and 10 to Williams in the end zone for 32 yards. It's the last thing you can do. It's the last thing you can do there. And again, another guy, right? Another guy who's we talked about in pregame, Jalen Johnson, right? Yep. Okay, can you make the plays? Can you do the cover? I don't know whose fault that was on that touchdown, but he was in the area again. So a meltdown, you don't even know what to say. The losing continues. There is a saying in football, Pat and Mullen, you guys know it well. Losers lose, right? And Pat just said, they Lions themselves. Well, not the Lions anymore, right? They're changing that culture down there. They're finding ways to win. The Bears are finding ways to lose, and I hate to say this, as usual.
I got to tell you, I was sitting there watching the game, and I thought the defense is putting on Eberflus greater than Ben Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. He's holding that team to 14 points until there's 4 minutes left in the game, 4:15, as you say, and then somehow they give up 17 points. And any good feeling you had about the afternoon that they had, It comes back to, you know, Jalen Johnson, you said it, or Olin, in the pregame. You know, you got to make plays on the ball. You got to get the ball. He dropped an interception that would have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And you didn't think that mattered because they got 4 takeaways and they were going to win the takeaways. And when they win the takeaways, they're a lot better. They're 0-20 when they lose the takeaways. And I mean, I'm just sitting here. I don't even know how it happened. I guess it comes down to coaching. I don't know who else to blame. But how do you lose a 9-point lead with 4 minutes left and then get beaten by 5? I mean, it's just it's such a swing and so blanking crazy that it's hard to put it into any kind of context.
And well, Olin, you talked about it. You wanted to see Justin Fields at the end of the game kind of win a game. Well, I think what you saw today was Jared Goff go out there and win the game. You know, he outplayed him. I mean, to do what he did with having three interceptions and coming back in the fourth quarter and putting that together, that's what a pro should do. That's what a really good quarterback in the NFL should do. And he did it. He made all the throws when he had to at the end. Some of the defense was a little, you know, they were playing back a little bit, and they had a busted coverage, like you said, Olin. But that's what you would want to see Justin Fields do. But Jared Goff did it to the Bears. And I think that's what happened in the fourth quarter. Jared Goff, being the pro he is, bounced back from the tough beginning and stayed true. You know, I think you saw the sideline view when he got up and started dapping everybody up on the sideline when they were down. Like, we're going to come back. We're going to get this. And he went out there and did it. And that's something I want to see Justin Fields do. I want to see the Bears do that. But, you know, this Lions team, we talked about how good they are at the beginning of this morning. And they proved it. And that's what good teams do. I mean, Olin, like, I go back to the Arizona game or games that we shouldn't have won if we got beat statistically, but we pulled them out when we were the better team. And that's what happened today. That's what I saw.
And when we learned how to win, but going back to what you're talking about, in the end zone for that touchdown to Williams, that's Eddie Jackson and Jalen Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. That's two guys, whoever busted that coverage, those are two veterans back there that had a miscommunication. And then even on, we go to the last drive where there's 30 seconds left, two timeouts. You think with Cairo Santos, that's a lot of time, Pat.
Yep.
That guy is money, right? I said, I get down the field. It was the drive before that, guys, that has me wondering, right? Run the ball up the middle twice. They score. They got all the momentum. You can't give them the ball back. And Justin Fields throws what seems like a nice ball to Tyler Scott, and Tyler Scott runs a good route. And I don't know whose fault that is, slowing it down, whatever. DJ Moore, Mooney, Cole Kmet at that time, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? If you ask me at that moment, not only that, if to not only, Pat, not only win the game at critical moments, extend the drive at critical moments, right? And I think, I don't know whose fault that is, but Getsy, instead of keeping on the, and it might have been a zone read, I couldn't totally tell, but instead of keeping the spread field zone reads, you run up the ball up the middle twice with Herbert.
Yeah,
right? I want the ball in Justin Fields' hand. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm upstairs screaming, what the F are you doing? I got to put the ball in Justin Fields' hands so I know if I have to take a quarterback or not. Right? Like, I am not happy. If I am running that building, Pat and Mully, I am not happy with the play calling on that second to the last drive. I am pissed off right now, and I am talking to the coaches about it. I need to figure out if this is the guy. Why did you take the ball out of his hands for two downs?
Yeah, that's a great, man. I don't understand it either. I'm screaming at the TV like, this is your guy, like you said, Olin, this is your guy. What have you been successful with early running the ball? Why don't you go back to your call sheet and see what you've been successful with and run those plays? Those were just two runs that just made no sense to me. Give Justin Fields the option to keep it, hand it off, whatever, put them in conflict instead of just handing it off and running up the middle. It didn't seem like it to me, Olin, that it was a zone read. It seemed like to me it was more of just a straight handoff. Let's try to just kind of grind this out and get, you know, run the clock down instead of doing what got you in that position to win the game, to put yourself in the position to win the game.
You know, Montez Sweat had a sack, and it was at a key point, and I thought, you know, there's a closer. There's a guy closing a game. And I don't understand. You know, when you watch DJ Moore, that guy is about as good a yak receiver as I've ever seen. I mean, he pulls his leg out of a guy holding it and pushes for a first down. He is just a very good yards after catch guy. And I don't understand why, as you say, Olin, he's not the guy you're throwing to. Cole Kmet isn't the guy you're throwing to. And maybe even Mooney I would throw to. But I don't even remember Tyler Scott making a play in the game. And I apologize if he did a lot.
No, he did. He fumbled.
But I'm saying I had the worst broadcast I've ever watched in my life. I don't know if anyone else had to go through this. But my I think it's AT&T U-verse. I don't know what the hell it is. But it was like I feel motion sickness because it kept cutting out and cutting out. And, you were watching the game, but there was this kind of weird kind of gap going on in the thing, and it kept glitching. And I'm like, oh, this is okay. Well, I guess at least I can see the game. Look how well the Bears are playing. And then the last 4 minutes, I nearly threw up from motion sickness or something.
Yeah, it's just
we all almost threw up. We all
100%.
Almost threw up at the end of the game.
Yes.
Watching the game. It wasn't the motion sickness, right? It was just the Chicago Bears. You know, Pat, the thing we used to say when we started playing some decent football in our career, we used to say to each other on the sideline, let this team beat themselves. They will when we were playing bad teams, right? Let them make the mistakes. Let them find a way to lose. Just keep playing. Just keep doing things the right way. And it looks like the Lions are there with this team, right? With the like you're saying with golf, shaking everybody's hand. The resolve on the sideline that, look, I know everything looks bad, but we're going to win this game. We'll find a way. Just keep going. This team we're watching, they'll beat themselves. This team we're playing, they'll find a way to beat themselves, make the critical mistakes, and lose. And that, when we keep talking about, yes, Ryan Poles is making the right decisions on players. You cannot argue that that was a talent. The Bears looked talented enough today against a talented Lions team, right? They looked like they matched up pretty damn good with until 4 minutes and 15 seconds left on the clock. The culture of losing right now, finding a way to lose, and then, again, not finding out if your quarterback is the guy. Because he did everything we thought. You know, when you talk about what will Justin Fields be, I thought the only question after this game, guys, was going to be, can he do this for 5-6 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
Right? He had 104 rushing yards, 169 passing yards. That's the numbers he needs to win games. But then with the second and last drive, you took the ball out of his hands, and in the last drive, and then he threw one up to Tyler Scott, and in the last drive, for whatever reason, with Darnell Wright, with Aiden Hutchinson out there, Darnell Wright had a good game. But for whatever reason, you're not chipping Aiden Hutchinson. You're chipping on the other side with Cole Kmet. That's baffling to me. But then you get the sack fumble.
That sums it up right there. And that's still, what, zero division wins for Eberflus, right?
Hey, Eberflus hasn't won two games in a row since he started as the Bears head coach. Eberflus needed to kind of – I think he needed to go 4-3 in order to ensure that he would not have the worst two-year record in the history of the Chicago Bears. Right now he leads Abe Gibron in that percentage. So, you know, I think he'd have to win out now or win, you know, maybe could afford to lose a game. But it looks like he's going to be literally the worst coach in the final in a two-year period in Bears history. And you can't win two in a row, and you can't win in the division. 0-16 now against teams with a winning record.
It's just bad. I mean, what Ryan Poles said, you know, we're going to take the North, right? They haven't even won a single game yet, which is just how do you keep your coach when that's your mantra that you preached to everybody that we're going to take the North and you can't even win one game? I mean, that's hard to sell.
They're going to take the North out to dinner. Joke.
Yeah, I just know. It's hard to sell.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm sure Coach Eberflus, when he's alone with Ryan Poles in his office, is looking him straight in the eye and saying, look, you tanked last year, right? So that record's also on you, right? You traded away all my best players. You know, if you look at the roster you gave me, how was I supposed to win games? Now here we are, like we just talked about, and we talked about these last seven games, judging Justin Fields, judging Coach Eberflus. Why? I gave a guy $100 million and lined him up on your defensive line, right? You got all these – I drafted the secondary. You got all those guys in the back. And like Mully said, man, until the end of the fourth quarter, this defense, you were Danny Greenham. You were crowning their ass, right?
Yeah.
You were crowning these guys. You guys are playing lights out. I thought Eberflus was out coaching Johnson. It was fun to watch. And it's horrible to have to do this post-game show, right? Because I'm watching the game, and I got this thought in the back of my head, man. How are they going to lose this game?
Yeah.
Right? I hate to say that. But I'm watching the Chicago Bears playing, Pat, and I'm asking myself, how are they going to lose this game? Right? What are they going to do? And sure enough, man, they caught Williams caught the ball in that end zone, and I said every F word at the TV because I couldn't believe it. Yeah. Right? I couldn't believe it, and I just had this bad feeling they were going 3-and-out, and only burned 10 to 15 seconds, lose a yard, throw a bomb to a rookie wide receiver and act like it's his fault, right? That's what they want us to do. Act like it's the rookie's fault. Okay, if that's what you want us to do.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is, like, there was no excuse to lose. When you were up like that at that point in the game, we were kind of, you know, texting with our show group, and that was what one of them said. No excuse to lose. And I agreed, none. You're going to win this game. And I never saw it coming. I don't know. I thought Goff was like the old Goff. I thought he was terrible. And I don't know how he came back and won that game.
Yeah, but Olin, what you said there about, you know, you thought they were going to lose, or how are they going to end up losing? You know, my feeling is they have that on that sideline. They have that in that locker room. And how do you get rid of that? How do you change that? You know, I think one of the players has to step up and make plays. The coach has got to coach better. But, you know, you get bad teams like that, it just seems like they have that feeling as well on the sideline, and that's why it starts ending up happening that way. And it was just, man, it's just aggravating. I just can't believe they lost it. I mean, you're sitting there watching that game. I'm so excited to come talk to you guys and talk about Justin Fields, like I said, and Luke Getsy, and then all of a sudden that happened, and it's really depressing, man. I just, you know, I'm sick of the Bears losing. I can't stand it, and I wish they would take it the same. Well, they do take it the same way, but just stop losing, please. It's driving me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Listen, over a month ago, 4 minutes, 11 seconds left in the third quarter, 15-play drive, the Bears go up 28-7 on the Broncos. Right. Yep. This is a problem.
Right.
This is a problem. And even when you're watching that game, you're up 28-7 with 4 minutes left in the third, and you're thinking, we can still lose this game.
Yep.
Right. We can still find a way to lose this game. And again, I just got to say the character is the same. Right. The fumble's the same from the same guy.
Yeah.
Right. It happens to the same guy. And that's why if I'm Ryan Poles, I am on that plane. I am talking to Getsy and Eberflus in that room. And I'm Kevin Warren. They got to answer me the question about the play calling on the second to the last drive. They got to tell me why they took it out of his hands. Because hey, even if it's the wrong play call, Pat and Mully, it's not the wrong play call for the time, right? I need to know if this guy can do the things everyone knows. I mean, Coach Eberflus announced it on the podium. He has to play. He has to be consistent. He has to play well in 2 minutes. He has to play well in red zone. He has to seal games. Well, give him the chance.
Yep.
I wrote down at one point, you know, Fields has all the, he's got it all. He's got all the tools. You know, maybe he needs better coaching, but he's a legit player. And then that happened. And I'm not blaming him, but how did that happen? I still don't know how they lost that game. It's just
that guy is really fun to watch, man. When he is rolling, that guy is fun to watch play football.
Yep.
He is capable of a lot. There was the one he rolled to his left, pressed the line of scrimmage in the first quarter, and delivered the ball to Moore. You remember that throw?
Yes.
Yep.
There's not a lot of guys in the NFL who can make that throw.
Yes.
Listen, put him one-on-one with whoever 55 was for the Lions at the end of the line of scrimmage there late in the game, and let's see if we can get a first down and run the damn clock out, right?
Yep.
Like Derek Barnes. That's who Derek Barnes had Justin Fields on the zone read. Let's set that up again late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, you got to blame the defense too, you know? I mean, I blame Getsy with the play call and they were taking it out of his hands, but the defense giving up 17 points in the fourth quarter, that's unacceptable as well. So that's coaching on the defensive side and players not stepping up, making plays and busting coverages. And it's just aggravating. This team, they just don't have the players to make the play. Aiden Hutchinson, right, goes and makes the strip sack. That's what you need.
Yeah.
You need players in certain situations to step up. Jared Goff delivers the ball on a busted coverage in the end zone on a 32-yard, you know, touchdown. And the Bears just don't have those players that are making those plays in the critical times. And that's just it's just getting really aggravating.
All right. 312-644-6767. We've had our chance to talk about the horrors. We will take your calls next. I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about what we learned and what we didn't learn and how whatever conclusions we had were almost robbed of us, but we'll come back with your phone calls. 312-644-6767. It is the Great Clips post game show presented by Tullamore Dew.
Clock stops at 3:06 and the 32.
Too easy. It's the pregame show. It is oh my God! Hold on a second. I'm losing my mind, guys. It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. I'm on the pregame show still. I got to tell you, that was too easy. That play, that drive. I mean, the Bears go up by 9 and They drive down the field. What was it, like a minute and 17 seconds? I didn't write down the time, but it was fast. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they're within five, and you got a real serious problem on hand.
Yeah, and then earlier in the game, they gave up, what, 75-yard touchdown in 76 seconds? And then they go back and turn the ball over with 15 seconds run off the clock with their next series. You know, that's how you lose the game. You handle the clock for the most of the game, but when you need to handle it the most important time, you can't do it.
Yeah,
it was a minute 16, Mully. Just
yes, sorry.
Just not good. They went right down the field, scored, and like we're talking about, the big play was a miscommunication. Whatever happened on that play, they had two guys. I mean, they're going to put the cornerback. He has to make a decision. Jalen Johnson chose low, and they went high on him, right? It's like a levels read for golf, and he hits it. He hits that touchdown. It's just way too easy at that time when that whole defense, the cover two, we've known it long enough. It's just built to make them go to field and waste time, right? Yep. If you make them go with 4:15 left, if you make them take, 3 minutes to score, you got a very good chance of winning that game. So I don't know what the chances are at that time. Everyone has the stats and the percentages nowadays. What's the chances for the Lions to win the game, right? To win the game when the Bears go up 26-14 after Cairo Santos' field goal. I'm sure it's pretty low. The team playing on the field has to basically beat themselves. And that's what we saw. That's what we saw happen, just like we saw it happen against the Broncos, right? So this team has an MO. They have an identity. Unfortunately, it's not a very good one.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. We'll start with Steven. Steven is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Steven.
Guys, I'm so numb right now. I was really looking forward to seeing this team finally, you know, get the win within the NFC North, and somehow they conceded 17 points in the last 3 minutes, playing scared to lose. And I just don't understand, if this doesn't get somebody fired, whether it's Eberflus or Angetti, or one or the other at least, and probably more than likely Eberflus will try and save his own ass by blaming it on, you know, Getsy, on that that next to last drive where they only needed 10 yards. And you went two runs up the middle for nothing, and then you threw that deep ball, and we can blame it on Tyler Scott for maybe stuttering on that one for, you know, half a step there. But the point is, Luke Getsy has no feel for the, you know, the game. He doesn't trust neither Bajent nor Fields, and today was pretty much evident about his play calling. And that cannot be accepted. Somebody has to take a fall tonight. And if Ryan Poles is dead serious about, you know, taking back that North, that infamous speech he made, he has to have some sort of a spine to tell one or the other that says, I can't have you coach this team any longer. Because this was a masterclass in how Eberflus coaches and lost almost 22 other games that we've seen before. And to accept this sort of mediocrity, I think, speaks volume about Poles and even, you know, going up the ladder and maybe start pointing a finger at Kevin Warren as well. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks, Steven.
Well, let me say this, guys. If they fire a coach, I mean, they're going to run out of coaches, right? We've already fired a defensive coordinator and a running back coach. They're not going to be able to fill the spots. Players can be coaching themselves. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is right now, guys. Honestly, that's why I've been kind of quiet. I'm just disappointed. Can't believe it happened. You know, I'm sitting there, like you said, Mully, you're writing your narrative in your head of, you know, what you're so excited to talk about, what you saw for three quarters, and then this happens. And I that locker room has to be, I wouldn't want to be in there.
Oh, it's just awful.
Yeah, I mean, after if you put the season together, if you put all the numbers together, the caller has a good point that someone should be fired, right? If you're going to change, if you're going to change the culture, if you're going to change and you're going to say, look, what's going on here, it's just not good enough, right? It's not good enough what's going on here, Pat. To your point, we'd be out of coaches after a while. you would think that if Coach Eberflus would have got fired, Alan Williams would have been interim head coach, right?
Right.
So after this game, who do you fire? Do you give, if you take Getsy out, the Janoco call plays, right?
Right.
A young offensive coordinator. Those are just the things. But eventually something has to you have to shake something up at Halas Hall, right? Eventually these kind of losses, you have to make a statement there that all this losing, that this numbers, I don't know if it's ever been this bad there at Halas Hall with this much losing, with not winning games back-to-back, with all the stats that Mully tells you all about what they're going through up there. I don't know. And I'm rewatching the second and last drive here. And on the second play, Justin Fields, that is a quarterback read. I'm going to just say this, man. If you want to be the guy, just keep it. Keep it. Even though the guy's reading it, keep it. And beat, you know, again, I said his name earlier, and it's the same guy. That's the guy that Derek Barnes playing that quarterback keep. And they got Cole Kmet releasing him, blocking the cornerback. Just keep it there. I want to see you make that play. Right? Yeah, I want to see him make that play.
Earlier, right?
Like we talked about earlier. If you want to blame the fourth-round rookie, 5'11", 185 pounds, Tyler Scott, if you want to put it on his shoulders, right, and say, he's got to keep running there. That's fine. That's fine. But I'm just telling you, then you're saying that, like we went through earlier in the pregame, you can say that about eight different guys, right? Eight different guys, you can say that about it, but you're just trying not to put it on one guy's shoulders.
Yep.
Let's try George. He's in Naperville. Hey, George.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mully. Olin, I don't want you to feel bad because I was swearing just as much as you were. And I just couldn't believe what I saw. A good coach puts his players in a position to be successful. I don't see that out of either one of those guys. And as far as I'm concerned, they should bring in Jim Harbaugh. I don't know why they don't. He's been successful everywhere he's been. And he went to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick. So he's had all kinds of quarterbacks he's developed. He's the guy that should be the next coach. Let these guys have enough rope to hang themselves the rest of the year. The Bears aren't going to fire anybody in the middle of the season, like a head coach or offensive coordinator. So you might as well just keep them. To me, Fields has proved himself the way he played today. A lot of heart. Yeah, he fumbled at the end, but when he gets run over by his own tackle trying to get out of the way, I mean, you know, I looked at, like you said, the play calling and that second to last time they had the ball, two plays up the middle. I mean, what are you doing? And then you try to throw a bomb, and, yeah, you know, Scott didn't have a good game. He fumbled the ball away, and then he slowed down and then tried to speed up, and it was out of his reach. You know, I just look at the coaching, and they're not putting their players in a position to be successful.
Mark is in Wisconsin. Let's hear from Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm in the same boat you all are. Thank God I live alone. The words were coming out of my mouth. You knew right away, as soon as they took a 9-point lead, that they're going to lose. I mean, that's just the feeling I have with them these days. I think Justin Fields played a really good game, but he can only do what the coaches give him. When he does try and do things on his own, he seems to be somewhat successful. If they don't do something about Eberflus, and especially Getsy, then I think Mr. Warren and Mr. Poles better be looking at each other in the mirror and just saying, what are we doing here? Just like you guys said, this is the worst losing. I mean, I'm not going to go in, God, I've been watching so-and-so, but this is like watching them back in the 70s. You know, nothing could go right, and there's nothing they can do. They just step on their own toes every time. And I don't blame it on the players all the time either. I mean, they only do what the coaches scheme and tell them to do. And, you know, obviously, no, we don't have all Pro Bowl players, but, you know, there are guys out there giving all they've got. And, you know, is Justin Fields perfect? No, but look at the coordinators the poor guy's had. He's had a bunch of losers the whole time he's been here. You know, if they let him go, he's going to go someplace else and be a superstar. And that's just a typical Chicago. That's what they do with everybody. I guess that's all I had to say. It's just it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I just think this city right now after that loss, this might be kind of the worst way to lose, right? You're getting so excited sitting on your couch, then you start cussing at the TV, and you get so disappointed, and, you know, to see a team that had this game in hand lose it the way they did. And I just would love to know what Ryan Poles is thinking, you know, what the direction of this team is going in his mind. Obviously, they're not winning, but what he wants to do with it. I do wonder if anybody will be fired, if there will be any changes made. If this continues the rest of the year, there's no way you can sell Matt Eberflus to another locker room, to this city, to the McCaskies, to Kevin Warren or anybody. I don't see it moving forward with him if it continues this way at all.
No, not at all. There's just no way you can justify it, right?
No.
And I think the coaches would understand after these losses if they got fired, right? We all know how this business works.
Yep.
Right? We would be on the bus right now, Pat, looking at each other like, man, this is not good.
No.
Right? Someone's going to go soon.
Yep.
We should talk about it. I remember 2009 when everybody was talking about should Lovey get fired. Like, we would talk about it. We would know, right? We would know, like, we're close to getting our coach fired here.
Yep.
Right? The way we're playing, what we're doing, it's not good enough, right? And I'm going back to this last drive, guys, and on that 3rd and 9 play, DJ Moore maybe double covered, but to me, if they're in cover two man, I'm going to him if he's in open, or Justin Fields should know it's cover two man. And like you guys know, in cover two man, guess who has the quarterback? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So to me, it's a bad call by the Lions. And Justin Fields has to make that play there. And again, I don't care if Tyler Scott wins off the ball or not. I am not going to him. Right? I am not going to him at that moment. So that it's twofold here. Obviously, there's always more stories in one, but that's what I'm talking about. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm in there asking him questions, and I'm getting answers like I'm telling you guys. I'm getting answers from Getsy right now. I say, no, he could have kept the ball on that second play. And on the third play, it was cover two man, and he could have run it or went to DJ Moore.
That's interesting. I'm glad you went back and watched that to be able to explain it better, because I was looking forward to doing that. But that's, I mean, yeah, you got it in. Yeah, that's great. You got to ask Justin Fields what the heck was he thinking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. But, Olin, what's your point about the uncomfortableness, like on the bus or just even in the building? I mean, those days coming in after losses like that, nobody talked to anybody. You knew something was going on. You knew there were a lot of thoughts nobody was really, well, we talked about it, but you didn't hear it from anybody in the building other than that. But it was just really uncomfortable when you lose games like this and your team is going in this direction and you're really, you know, because you get close with your coaches. I liked all my coaches and I hated to see them get fired. And it's just a hard situation to be in when you know that their livelihood is in kind of your hands as well. And, you know, you're working together. But it's just, man, it's an awful feeling in that building.
It is, because when someone gets fired, it means we're all not doing our job.
Yeah.
Right? It sucks, man.
Yep.
It sucks when you're in there playing. It sucks losing games like this. It sucks being analysts going over games like this, right? It sucks 100%. Talking about guys' jobs. It sucks when they're doing bad. It's just you know, it was haunting you that this is what the hell we were going to have to talk about.
That's
a good way to put it. I mean, I think you can predict how the fans are going to respond. And the response isn't going to be, gosh, that was a shame. They were so close. It's going to be next. And that is every NFL city, every NFL team.
I don't know about you guys, but how many texts do you get after the game? And mine are just fire everybody, fire the coaches, fire everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And I get it. The frustration in this city is very high after the last few years.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's try. I think we have John. He's in Davenport, Iowa. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Been better.
Good. Yeah, we're doing awful.
Yeah. Hey, at least it was Montgomery that beat us. I'll take that. But I did want to say on the Luke Getsy front, there's three drives I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the first one in first series of the year. And he went for it on fourth down after that kind of weird play on third down. And then the series after Bagent had that 40-yard bomb against the Chargers, and the next two plays were run plays. And that's kind of how the second-to-last drive here felt. And it's more like he's a fine coach, but let's ask him about that. Let's just be like, yo, just be accountable. That was a bad set of decisions, because either you run it on third down and take their last time out, or you go for the win. So those are my thoughts. Hope you guys have a great day. Watching Hester highlights with my son this morning. Beautiful game.
Yeah. I'd rather be watching that
ever,
right now.
Right? Devin Hester was the greatest ever, man. So yeah, those are really good highlights to watch. You know, as far as eventually, that, like, Pat, when people say, like, the people in charge of the building, why is it so important that they know football? It's because of that, right? Like,
yeah.
You have to get down to the point of, okay, really, what happened here on the field, right? Mm-hmm. What happened? Who is responsible for this? Is it Getsy? Is it Fields? Are we chasing our tail here with this quarterback? Why wasn't it more open? Why is it more spread offense? Why not just give him a chance to run what he ran at Ohio State? Questions like that are things you have to ask. And to the caller's point, you know, even what Getsy will tell you, like, look, I'm calling plays for a free agent, you know, college quarterback here out of Shepherd yeah. College, right? I'm sure that's what he would say. So it's just there's so much goes into the details of what happened on every play. It's hard to pinpoint when you're not in the building mm-hmm. what the hell is actually going on. But I will tell you what is going on, what we all know. They do lose games in the most miserable fashion.
That's a fact.
Oh, all right, man. We got to take a quick timeout. You're listening to the Great Clips Postgame Show, presented by Tullamore Dew. 312-644-6767 is the number here on the Score.
So they go from second and medium to third and long. Play clock winding down. Four-man rush. Fields with nothing down the field. Penalty marker flies in. Fields takes off. Fields with a big run. Fields still on his feet. And he slides down inside the 35. We'll have to check the penalty flag at the 45-yard line. Plenty to dance about for Justin Fields as he maneuvered his way for a 30-yard rush. We'll see if it stands.
Yeah, it stood, and in fact, there were 5 yards added to it for a defensive hold. So that was a great moment, and it was a fun moment for Justin Fields with the little dance there. And I guess the over-under on his yards rushing was 43.5, and he wound up over 100 yards. So that run obviously helped a ton. Oh, boy, if that could have been later in the game, right? So not complaining about anything that happened there, mind you, but really a difficult finish for the Bears, who somehow figured out a way to go from up 9 to down 5 by the time the game ended in 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah, if you take his whole game, and Olin, you mentioned it, like, he's fun to watch. I thought he had one of his best games. He played great in the pocket, the throw to DJ Moore for the touchdown, slid up in the pocket, kept his eyes downfield, delivered that. I thought Getsy, for the most part, until the end of the game, caught a nice play with using his legs. I think he had maybe 10 or 11 QB runs, not just scrambles, mm-hmm. but zone reads or called runs that he executed really, really well. And I thought our story coming into this post game was going to be about how good he played, how good he looked, how Getsy called a great game. But, you know, Olin, you mentioned in the beginning of at the pregame that it comes down to the fourth quarter. That's where you get paid and why you get paid as a quarterback. And this team just did not produce in the fourth quarter. I'm not putting it all on Justin Fields. The defense, you know, fell through too. Getsy's play calling was bad, but, you know, you want to see your quarterback be able to, you know, finish the game at the end of the game.
It's crazy, really, when you take a good look at it, right? Because all week we're trying to figure out what is the missing piece. And I remember mm-hmm. I heard Dave Wansett and Matt Bowen mention it. And I went back and just took a look at it, and it's right there in front of your face, right? It's making the plays at the end of the game to win them, yeah. Being a difference maker in crunch time. I mean, guys, if we just talk about plays, you remember the play after Darnell Wright's holding calls and Baum got beat? He yes. slid up in the pocket and found DJ Moore for a touchdown. I mean, that is a big-time play, yes. man. I mean, that is really like we're saying about yeah. this guy. Like, what is missing is just – well, there's two pieces missing for just talking about why do you continue with Justin Fields as your quarterback. It's winning late in the game, and the second piece is can he – because that was a physical football game we watched, yeah. man. The Lions and yeah. the Bears are getting after each other. Can he do that for 5 weeks in a row, right, Pat?
Yeah.
Like, that it was hard to do to take those hits. And the refs are not – when you're running the ball like that, the refs are telling you, when you're a running back, they're not protecting you like a quarterback. Right?
Yeah,
he got hit a lot today.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be, like, the narrative. Like, you know, what a great game, but can he continue that for the rest of the season? Because we've seen he gets injured and he's missed a lot of games because of injuries. But now we're talking about something different. But I just wish it was a win, and that was our question that we had about this game and this team.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with your calls. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number, and you are listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew.
So they go from second and medium to third and long. Play clock winding down. Four-man rush. Fields with nothing down the field. Penalty marker flies in. Fields takes off. Fields with a big run. Fields still on his feet. And he slides down inside the 35. We'll have to check the penalty flag at the 45-yard line. Plenty to dance about for Justin Fields as he maneuvered his way for a 30-yard rush. We'll see if it stands.
Yeah, it stood, and it, in fact, there were 5 yards added to it for a defensive hold. So that was a great moment, and it was a fun moment for Justin Fields with the little dance there. And I guess the over-under on his yards rushing was 43.5. And he wound up over 100 yards. So that run obviously helped a ton. Oh, boy, if that could have been later in the game, right? So not complaining about anything that that happened there, mind you, but really a difficult finish for the Bears, who somehow figured out a way to go from up 9 to down 5 by the time the game ended in 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah, if you take his whole game, and Olin, you mentioned it, like, he's fun to watch. I thought he had one of his best games. He played great in the pocket, the throw to DJ Moore for the touchdown, slid up in the pocket, kept his eyes downfield, delivered that. I thought Getsy, for the most part, until the end of the game, caught a nice play with using his legs. I think he had over, I think it was maybe 10 or 11 QB runs, not just scrambles, but zone reads or called runs that he executed really, really well. And I thought our story coming into this post game was going to be about how good he played, how good he looked, how Getsy called a great game. But, you know, Olin, you mentioned in the beginning of at the pregame that it comes down to the fourth quarter. That's where you get paid and why you get paid as a quarterback. And this team just did not produce in the fourth quarter. I'm not putting it all on Justin Fields. The defense, you know, fell through too. Getsy's play calling was bad, but, you know, you want to see your quarterback be able to, you know, finish the game at the end of the game.
It's crazy, really, when you take a good look at it, right? Because all week we're trying to figure out what is the missing piece. And I remember I heard Dave Wansett and Matt Bowen mention it. And I went back and just took a look at it, and it's right there in front of your face, right? It's making the plays at the end of the game to win them, being the difference maker in crunch time. I mean, guys, if we just talk about plays, you remember the play after Darnell Wright's holding calls and Baum got beat? He slid up in the pocket and found DJ Moore for a touchdown. I mean, that is a big-time play, man. I mean, that is really like we're saying about this guy. Like, what is missing is just – well, there's two pieces missing for just talking about why do you continue with Justin Fields as your quarterback. It's winning late in the game, and the second piece is can he – because that was a physical football game we watched, man. The Lions and the Bears are getting after each other. Can he do that for 5 weeks in a row, right, Pat? Like, that it was hard to do to take those hits. And the refs are not – when you're running the ball like that, the refs are telling you, when you're a running back, they're not protecting you like a quarterback. Right? Yeah, he got hit a lot today.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be like the narrative. Like, what a great game, but can he continue that for the rest of the season? Because we've seen he gets injured and he's missed a lot of games because of injuries. But now we're talking about something different. But I just wish it was a win, and that would be our – and that was our question that we had about this game and this team.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with your calls. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number, and you are listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew.